Today we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Nedorim with lesson number 42. Nedorim, the 11th perek, the last perek of Nedorim. Today we will study Mishnah Dalet and Hey, the 4th and 5th Mishnayos of Perek Yud Aleph. In this 4th perek, we learn about a situation in which there is a husband and a wife, and the wife makes a neder to prevent others from deriving benefit from her ma'aseh yodeho, from her ma'aseh yodayim, from the work which she produces, the food she cooks, the clothing she sews and knits, the bookcases she builds, etc. So if she says, konom she'eni oso al pi abo, in other words, her neder is that everything that she produces should be osur, should be prohibited to her father to have any benefit from what she produces, as if her productions were a korban, koinom. Or, bi'alpiyovicho, she makes a similar neder with reference to her ma'ase yodayim, but relating to her father-in-law, your father, you, my husband's father. V'yalpi'ochi, my brother. V'yalpi'ochicha, your brother, her brother-in-law. Eino yochal lohofer. Such nedorim, the husband has no power to nullify his wife's neder, because this is neither a neder of inui nefesh. She is not going to suffer from the fact that her father, father-in-law, brother-in-law cannot derive benefit from her ma'aseh yodayim. And it is also not a neder beino leveino. It is not something that directly interferes with the relationship between husband and wife. The husband and wife could go on living a perfectly happy life, even though the father, father-in-law, brother, and brother-in-law cannot derive benefit from her productions. However, suppose she makes a neder in which she says, my ma'asa yodayim, that which I cook and bake and sew and knit and build, should be also to you to derive any benefit from. Then, eino tzorich lohofer, he doesn't even have to express a hafara and nullify her vow, because she has made a neder about depriving him from her ma'aseh yodayim, from that which she produces. That which she produces is mishubot. She's obligated. That's part of the relationship of a marriage, that the ma'aseh yodayim, the products of the wife's work, belong to the husband, and therefore she has no right to prohibit them from him, from her husband. However, Rabbi Akiva objects. Rabbi Akiva Omer and says, Yofe. No, he must be careful to express the hafara to that neder, because if she's baking or cooking or producing things, she might produce a little bit more than she's obligated to give to him. Now, the Mishnah Maseches Ksuvas, Mishnah Hei Perek Tes, specifies exactly what a wife has to produce for her husband. And it does so very precisely. If she produces more than that amount, that extra, that odef, that extra amount, she's not obligated to give to her husband. So her neder would take effect, if not upon the basic amount that she's obligated to do for her husband, it would take effect upon the extra amount that she made over and above that which she is obligated to give to her husband. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva advises that he must issue a hafara. He cannot live a life in which he is careful to only derive benefit from her to the extent that she's obligated to do so. But if she does a little bit more, oops, he's going to say, oh, I got to stop now because there's a neder prohibiting me from getting any benefit from this extra amount. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, Yofer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Yomer Yofer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in a certain respect, agrees with Rabbi Akiva and says he must make a hafora, he must expressly nullify her vow, not because of the odef, not because of the extra ma'asa yodayim that she might produce, but for her ma'asa yodayim. And his reasoning is an entirely different one. Shema yagorshena, because he might divorce her. And if he divorces her, that's the end of the obligation that she has to him. So she's no longer obligated to give him her ma'aseh yodayim. And therefore, those ma'aseh yodayim, the products of her labor, become osur to the husband. Now he cannot take her back, in case he wants to. And the Mishnah wants to leave that option open, a remarriage. So therefore, Shema Yagarshanu Utihi Asura Olav, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, best thing is, he should issue a hafora, and then the neder is mufar, the neder is nullified, even in the case of a divorce, when the shibud, the obligation, is nifka, the obligation is then no longer in effect. So that's Mishnah Dalet. Let's move on to Mishnah Hay. If you look at any neder that a person makes, that neder has various components. First of all, there's the person who makes the neder. In the case of a woman married to a man that we've been studying, the woman, the wife. The other thing is the isur, the nature of the isur which is being accepted upon herself. For example, we will see in the Mishnah, is she accepting upon herself nazirus, in which case she's also to eat grapes, but also also to do various other things? Or is a neder merely a neder not to eat grapes, in which case it's only grapes that she's prohibited from deriving benefit from? And then there is the ne'esar. That is, what is being prohibited here? The grapes, the bananas, what is it exactly upon which the neder is going to take effect? So now, we've learned all along that a neder which is made on the basis of a false assumption, mistaken basis, then that neder is not chal, that neder has no effect. Now we're going to learn that the hafara issued by a husband is also not valid if that hafara was based upon a mistaken assumption that the Baal, the husband, is making. So that, Nodro Ishto, beginning Mishnah 5, if it is his wife who made this neder, Visavur Shenodro Bito, but he thought it was his daughter. His wife and daughter have similar voices. He heard in the next room one of them making a vow, and he assumed it was his daughter, but it was really his wife, or vice versa. Nodro bito visavush and nodro ishto. Or nodro benozir, his wife or daughter, young daughter, Nara, made a neder that she would become a nozir, a female nozir, a nazira, in which case she is also, among other things, to eat grapes. V'savur shenodro bakorbon, but he thought that the neder was only a neder in which he said, grapes should be also to me like a korbon, a standard neder. Or the opposite. Nodro bakorban, she made a simple neder, v'savur, and he, when he issued his hafara, thought that he was nullifying a neder she made to become a nozir. Or nodro min hatenin, she made a neder not to eat figs, v'savur she nodro min ho'anovim, he thought that her neder was not to eat grapes, or vice versa. Nodro min ho'anovim, v'savur she nodro min hatenin, she made a neder not to eat grapes, and he mistakenly believed that the vow was that she not eat figs, and he nullified, he expressed a hafara on the neder, but he made a hafara on the basis of a mistaken assumption as to who made the neder, or what was the nature of the neder, or upon which substance the neder should take effect. In all these cases, his hafara is a hafara bitous. It's a mistaken hafara, and hafara bitous eino hafara, which we derive from the fact that in Parshas Matos, when the whole process of hafara is described in some detail, the Torah again and again uses the phrase nidro with a mapikei har nede, or osa har har har. For example, the pasuk says v'yim yom shmoa isha yoni osa v'hofer es nidro, or v'shoma aviho es nidro, or v'yim heini aviho osa. So from that precise language of the Torah, we see that the Torah wants the hafara to be very specific, and the hafara can be made only if the father, in the case of a daughter, or the husband, in the case of a wife, really knows the identity of the noder, the nature of the neder, and the substance which is becoming prohibited. Otherwise, a hafara betos is no hafara, and therefore, if he wants to be made for the neder that he now knows to be, that he now is fully aware of, fully informed about. He now knows it was his wife and not his daughter. It was a nazirus and not a plain neder. It was grapes and not figs, etc. Hareze yachzor v'yofer. Then he has to go out and make a second haforah. And so we have finished lesson number 42.